lifted up your Bible, paper Bible, not your phone. He said, Bible. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get into this. Matthew 28. Don't worry. We still have a Holy Ghost meeting. Right? Holy Ghost meeting. I'll share with some of your pastors some days back concerning Holy Ghost. I said, you know, I thank God. I met and I'm very grateful to Pastor Shego Anointa. Amen. Very grateful. Very, very grateful. I want to say thank you so much, Pastor, for teaching us the word. Teaching me the word the way you do. Hallelujah. You know, I'll share with our pastor some days back. And I think, you know, we didn't know years back that what we were having was Holy Ghost teaching. We listened to Kenny Hagin, but we didn't really understand until we got to meet Pastor Shevin. It helped us to see that this is called Holy Ghost teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I'm just so grateful. You know, anytime I get to prepare for meetings like this, I spend time listening to Pastor Shevin's messages on Holy Ghost teaching and Kenny Hagin. Less of Kenny Hagin and more of Pastor Shevin, though. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. There are several adulterations of Holy Ghost teaching. We have the real Holy Ghost. Amen. We have the real Holy Ghost teaching. Amen. Not the branded, a real one. Amen. So let's go open our Bibles. Let's look at some things. Okay, hallelujah. Matthew 28, let's start from there. I'll be sharing with us on some topics for tonight. Tomorrow we're looking at some facts about the kingdom. You know, we're discussing deliverance authority, right? Discussing some facts about the kingdom. But for tonight, I want us to look at something that will lead us into tomorrow's meeting, which is, what did God do in the 3 days? What did God do in the 3 days? But you can also paraphrase it to be, what did men see, or what did Satan see in the 3 days? Hallelujah, 3 days. So that's what I'll make it. That's what we're going to look at today. What did God do within the 3 days? Matthew 28. You know, last year, we looked at what Jesus did within the 3 days, right? What happened within the 3 days? Did you see that? Right? What happened in the grave? We saw that, right? Right? Come on, hallelujah. Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And in the earth. And they go therefore and teach all nations to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you always, even to the ends of the age. Mark 16, from verses 15. Mark 16, 15. He says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And this son shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. After that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them as the Pharisees, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Luke 24 from verses 45. I'll start from verse 44. And he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning you. And he opened here their understanding that they might understand, comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Prophet is written, and prophet, behold, Christ will suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Hallelujah.
Now, something to look at is the fact that this will be a summary of Jesus' instructions to his disciples within the 40 days. Hallelujah. A summary of what he instructed his disciples within the 40 days. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to look at these instructions from tomorrow. Hallelujah. I will say these instructions, if you've been around for service, we'll say these instructions would be from the Genesis, right? This will be the instructions from the Genesis, and it will be the responsibilities of believers to make disciples. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. Are we looking at that? That this will be an instruction from the Genesis, because Jesus was reading from Genesis. Luke 24, from verse 25, he told his disciples, told the two guys on their way to Emmaus, Cleopas, and he said, these are the words that, he told them, say, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Say, of longer Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Say, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So that means, Jesus taught from the scriptures. Hallelujah. What will be the scriptures in the days of Jesus? Genesis to Malachi. I know that there are some people who say Old Testament is gone. Well, you are wrong there. Hallelujah. Jesus taught from Genesis down to Malachi. John 5:39. He says, you search the scriptures in them, you think you have eternal life. He says, these are they that testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me. Verse 45. He says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He said, there's one who accuses you. He says, Moses, in whom you trust. He said, if you believe Moses, you see that you will believe me, for he wrote concerning me. You see that? So when it says Moses wrote concerning him, it means Moses' writings, if you look at it, it will point to Christ. Hallelujah. So I've always told you that your theology, your study of God, must lead you to Christology, the study of Christ. Okay, follow me. Must lead you to Christ's study. Hallelujah. So Jesus will read from Genesis down to Malachi, right? And that means this instruction will be instructions from the Genesis. Glory to God. From the Genesis. And whose responsibility will it be? Jesus gives that responsibility to men. That means you'll find it as the responsibility given to the man in Christ from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So why would how will Matthew record this instruction? Matthew will call these instructions disciples, make disciples. You see that? Matthew will say, go make disciples. Mark will focus on the entry into discipleship. Mark and Luke. Hallelujah. Mark and Luke. He says, we'll focus on the entry, which is by preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. When a man believes the gospel, right, he's saved, he's now a disciple. Glory to God. How are you following me? He's now a disciple. Well, we know God. So, Jesus will not tell you what should be done in the local church, or you could during discipleship. In verse 20 of Matthew 28, he says, teaching them. What are you following me? He says, teaching them. Come on. Is this a rushing mighty wind? What's happening? Take it off. Does not have control. Oh, God bless you. Amen. Let's continue. Hallelujah. Okay. Now Jesus will tell you what should be done in discipleship. He says, teaching them. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says teaching them, it becomes very important. When he says teaching them, shows you that Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. Hallelujah. When he tells you teaching them, he shows us that Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. It's a faith that is centered on knowledge. Hallelujah. If we read 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul will say to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:4, quickly rush down to 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Look what Paul said. 1 Timothy 2:4. Are you there? It says, who will have, okay, I'll start from verse 2. Say, for kings have all in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, you see, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's desire is for all men to be saved. Did you see that? What is God's desire? For all men. You know, all men means all men, every man. Hallelujah. God's desire is for who?
All men to be saved. We'll see all this tomorrow. Hallelujah. All men to be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. So when it says come to the knowledge, to come to the knowledge of the truth, it shows you that knowledge is important in Christianity. Over for a minute. Hallelujah. And when it says knowledge there, if we get back to Matthew 28:20, you see that the knowledge there is not vast knowledge. It's not knowledge about everything in the world. No. The knowledge there will be specific knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge there will be specific knowledge. It says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So he was specific on what should be taught. Hallelujah. If you read from Paul's letters, his prayer will be towards the same thing, knowledge, and to be specific knowledge. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1:15. Ephesians 1:15-23. I need you to follow me fast. Ephesians 1:15. He said, wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord and love to all sins, cease not to give thanks and making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints. So you see, his prayer is towards knowledge. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Revelation of him. So it's specific prayer, specific knowledge. Look at Ephesians 3. You can read the remaining. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 from verses 14. To see. Say, for this cause I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the family of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he will grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that he, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know, did you see that? To know the love of Christ. Specific. Okay, follow me. To know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, following that. Glory to God. Specific sense about knowledge. Hallelujah. In Colossians, okay, before we get to Colossians, Philippians 1:9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in what? In what? Knowledge and in all judgment. Hallelujah. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto glory and praise of God. Do you know specific knowledge? In Colossians 1:9. Write down to Colossians 1:9. Hope you're following me. Therefore, this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Did you see that? Knowledge of his will. Did you see that? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, is it vast knowledge or specific knowledge? Specific knowledge. Okay, I'm following that. Hallelujah. Let's get to Philemon. Philemon. Are you in Philemon? Okay, Philemon 6:1-6. Philemon 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual, thereby the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says, now, this is Paul writing to Philemon. He wants Philemon to walk in love towards a brother who has hurt him. Though the person was not a brother when he hurt Philemon. Hallelujah. In the name of Onesimus. Hallelujah. Now he wants him to walk in love towards Onesimus. He prays for him. Right? Say that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. Now, you know, you can, in today's world, we're going to explore that again, right? Tomorrow. In today's world, you read acknowledging as by acknowledging, by nodding your head, right? Bro, this is not nodding your head. Acknowledging there, to acknowledge there is the word in the Greek, epignosis. Epignosis is the word used for precise knowledge. Precise knowledge. Hallelujah. What you can call accurate knowledge. So it says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging. Now, the acknowledging there is what? Accurate, precise knowledge. Do you see that? Of what? Every good thing which is in you in all the world. No. You were in Christ Jesus specifically. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Paul writes like this to Philemon, he said that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He implies that a believer cannot function beyond the knowledge he or she has about Christ. Hallelujah. You cannot function beyond your knowledge about Christ. Amen. Hope you're following. You can't. When what you don't know, you can't flow in it. Glory to God. Glory to God. I told someone, I want to invite you for Holy Ghost meeting. This was last year, I guess. Yeah, last year. I want to invite you for Holy Ghost meeting. But say, no, in my own church, we used to do Holy Ghost meeting. I said, wow, interesting. What is Holy Ghost meeting? Said, no, Holy Ghost meeting is, we usually have it first Sunday of the week, of the month. I said, wow. He said, so what do? He said, after our pastor is done preaching, he will now give us anointing oil and rub it on our head. That is Holy Ghost meeting. I said, interesting. Now, why would they call that Holy Ghost meeting? You cannot function beyond your knowledge. Hallelujah. And not in my place to start teaching him, because he's not the pastor of the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I've seen some people, I'll share with your pastor, I've seen some people do Holy Ghost meeting, and their rejoicing is like this. I'm like, what is this? What is happening here? It's supposed to be a Galileo, right? You are laughing. 5 years ago, if I tell you a Galileo, would you do it? He's right there. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So that's what it is. You can't function beyond your knowledge. So most times, we receive an instruction even from Pastor Sherry, that was last year. Don't laugh at people that, sometimes you tend to laugh at people based on their knowledge. For example, not in our church. Some people, when you see, you are inside the bus, you are pressing your phone, you're on YouTube, or watching the memes that are happening. They are watching Makunana, my banana, and all that. And somebody stands up in the bus and says, repent! Kingdom of God is at hand! Hellfire! I say, shut up! What do you know? You that know something, why didn't you stand to preach? Hallelujah! There are people like that. He's doing what he's doing, that is knowledge. It's Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory to God. We have someone like that in Scripture who was zealous. Right? What's it? Apollos. And who took him in? Priscilla and Aquila. They did not stand, they did not say, they're saying, no, they come, get out. No. Hallelujah. He was there. You can have people as there. There are some people who don't even know how to pray. Right? And all they know in prayer is Holy Ghost fire. And you are laughing at them. Never laugh at people when they pray. Hope you are hearing me. Don't do that. We receive that as an instruction. Hallelujah. Don't laugh at people. It's bad manners to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you can't function beyond your knowledge about Christ. So, what did Jesus now say to them in Matthew 28 from verse 20? He has teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So, when he says lo, it points their attention to what they should teach about. They should teach about what he has commanded them, that he is with them. Hallelujah. So when he says, lo, I am with you. Hallelujah. When he says, lo, remember, the knowledge is knowledge centered on Christ. Right? Hope I said that. Right? It's not vast knowledge, it's specific knowledge centered on Christ. So when he says, lo, I am with you. Now what lo, I am with you is a phrase for the resurrection. I am with you. It's a fact of the resurrection. I am with you. Jesus speaks of it in John 14. John 14, 16. John 14, verse 16. Look at what he says. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You see that? I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Hallelujah. So Jesus, speaking of the resurrection, will say, I will come to you. Hope you're saying that. He says, I will come to you. This is not the first time he's telling them he will come to them in the same chapter. Look at verse 3. Speaking of the resurrection, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you. Okay, let me start from verse 3. Say, in my father's house are many mansions. If not so, I wouldn't have told you I go prepare a place for you. Say, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is it the same thing with know I am with you? Is it the same thing with know I am with you? Where I am, there you may be also. So he says, if I go, I will come. That is the resurrection. And he says, in the resurrection, I will be with you. The same thing he repeats in verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. This is that thing that says in verse 20. That day you will know I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is making us see that the resurrection is not a going away. The resurrection is not a going away. The resurrection is a coming again. Hallelujah. A union, an inseparable union. The resurrection is not a going away. It is what? An indwelling. Hallelujah. It's the indwelling rather. The resurrection is a union. That's what he says. You know, most times some people sing songs that are not related to their faith. You know, have you heard people sing? Let me say it. You know, it's contrary. Remember, your song should be a reflection of your belief, right? Ask someone, you're born again, say, yeah. Does Jesus lives in you? Say, yeah, Jesus lives in me, right? Just lives in me. Then they sing, go ahead and sing a song, he's coming back again. Who is it? It's in you. Hallelujah. He's coming back again. No. Jesus didn't live. The resurrection is not a going away. The resurrection is an indwelling. It's the indwelling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The resurrection is not Jesus has gone, he will come back later. No. The resurrection is Jesus is in me. Hallelujah. Jesus is in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's track back a bit and see Jesus' commentary concerning the resurrection. Let's track back a bit. Let's get back to Matthew chapter 16. There's some people who have been saying, ah, Pastor didn't get to Matthew 16. No, right here. Hallelujah, Matthew 16. Are you in Matthew 16? Okay. If you're there, we'll read from verse 13. I just came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and after the disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say thou art John the Baptist. Funny, right? They just saw John the Baptist. I said, you are John the Baptist. That's funny, right? He said, and some say Elias, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, and Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. When he says flesh and blood is used for experience. Hallelujah. Experience has not revealed this to you. Hallelujah. But my Father which is in heaven. Now, that phrase, my Father which is in heaven, I showed us during CLC 2020. I showed us that phrase is actually an interpretation from scriptures, right? Go back and listen to me today. Hallelujah. That interpretation from scriptures. We'll get to see that tomorrow also. Hallelujah. I hope to show you that tomorrow also. Glory to God. So that would be an interpretation from scriptures. And look at what he says in verse 7. And I said to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. So when Peter said to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus replied and said, you are Peter, right? Jesus replied and said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. What does that imply? That makes us see that a believer can only be known in the revelation of Christ. When Peter says to him, thou art the Christ, Jesus responded, you are Peter. And Jesus said, your identity can only be found in the, or your believer can only be known in the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A believer can't be known outside Christ. It is error to know a believer outside Christ. A believer can only be known in Christ. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. And addressing Christ. So in verse 18, you know what he says? He says, I will build my church. Now when you use the word church, That word church is the word ecclesia. Hallelujah. I'll build my church. Ecclesia. Ecclesia is used for call at once. Hallelujah. Ekkalio. To call out. Call out once. I will be ready to say call out once. Now, in Israel or in Greek, that word ecclesia is not a word that Jesus coined. No. It's not a Jesus coined word. Ecclesia is what they know. Right? What they know. When you hear church, it does not mean gather to. No. It means people call that for a specific purpose. Now, we can gather for a political meeting. We can gather. It's called call that once. Did you see that? Called out once. Called from a group, called out. This, I hope you're following me. Now, when he uses the word ecclesia, I will build my own. When he uses the word my church, it shows that it will not be like the garden in the world, right? It will not be like other garden, but this will be my own. Hallelujah. My own called out once. I will build my own church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he says, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. When you use the word the gate of hell, when you say the gate of hell, that is the word, the place, I mean the word hell there is the word that is, that's the word AD, the place of the dead. Hallelujah. The word hell is the word, the place of the dead. So when he says, I'll build my church and the place of the dead will not prevail, that means he's talking about the resurrection. So he's telling you that the church will come from the resurrection. Hallelujah. And that fact will be, he will defeat death. Glory to God. So when he says, I'll build my church and the gate of Hades. Now when he uses the word gate, I skip that. When he uses the word gate, that is the word in the Greek, pute in the Greek. You'll find it in Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Luke 7 verse 12 is used for an access, an entrance, an access, an entrance gate. Luke 13, 24, an entrance. Acts 3 verse 10, the guy at the gate called beautiful, right? The gate to the temple. Hallelujah, the gate to the temple called beautiful. So after that, entrance, right? That entrance? Acts 12:10 will be the gate when the angel brought Peter out, right? To the gate, right? Entrance, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in their world, remember I told us that we must learn to understand words used in their world. So in their world, a gate is used to know how strong a city is. A city, they don't call it a city gate. A gate is used to know how strong a city is, right? If they can break your wall, your gate, they will surely deal with you, right? So your gate will measure up to your strength in their wall. Hallelujah. So it shows strength, it shows power of a city. So when Jesus says the gate of hell, he implies the power of the kingdom of the devil. Hallelujah. Or you put it like this, the authority of death will not hold him bound. That the gates of hell will not prevail. It means they will not hold him bound. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means he will resurrect. What Jesus is saying is that I will resurrect on the third day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. And don't let us see others. We saw what Jesus did within the 3 days. Right? Now let's see. Let's focus on what God did within the 3 days. Versus what men saw. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to focus on. What did God do within the 3 days? You know, the last time we said, when Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, he was not sleeping. No. Hallelujah. We saw it, right, from the book of Acts, that he was talking. He was rejoicing. Glory to God. He had activities. Amen. He had activities. He rejoiced. So now, what did God do within the 3 days? Hallelujah. Let's rush down to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see something in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul makes us see something in verses 5. It is, on top of verse 4, that my speech and my preaching was not in the exercising words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, when he says in the power of God in verse 5, our power of God refers to the gospel preached. Remember in verses. Okay, in verses 4, he has said that my preaching, right? He used the word preaching, was not with the words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the spirit and power, right? That word demonstration is the word apodexis, right? So that means he's talking about this preaching, right? The gospel. Now, when he gets to verse 5, he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What will be the power of God? The gospel preached, right? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? It is the power of God. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right? He said, how be to speak wisdom among men, among them that are perfect? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Take note of that word, princes of this world. He said, for we speak wisdom, for we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to have glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he uses the word, Paul used the word prince of the world. Mark that word, prince of the world. Hallelujah. Now when we get back to the four gospels, what we call four gospels, actually the synoptics, but we discover that what did we see crucified Jesus? We saw men, right? We saw men. But Paul uses the word prince of the world. And he uses it for those who crucified Christ. Hallelujah. Now when you use the word prince of the world, now it includes both the men of the world, right? And then Paul, because that's what we see in Matthew, right? But something that Paul has done, Paul now brings about a supernatural being. It shows that there's a supernatural being there. Now we're going to see something. Now when you use the word prince, when you use the word prince, he's writing from Daniel. He's writing from Daniel. So I have to go back to see it in Daniel chapter 10. Let's get to Daniel 10. Daniel 10, verses 13. Daniel 10. Now that word prince in the Hebrew is the word Sar, S-A-R. Now that word Sar is used for a chief, a head, is used to show authority. The first, a chief. The first, a chief, a head. You understand me? Now look at Daniel 10, verse 13. It's a similar word there. Verse 13 says, but the prince, now, I'll start from verse 12. Then he said to me, fear not, that is the angel, Daniel, from the first day that this set thy heart to understand the and to chasten thyself before God. Thy word were heard, and I am come for thy word. Say, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Hallelujah. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Hallelujah. 120 days. But before now, Daniel has made us see in verse 1 of Daniel 10. He said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Now, that means Daniel has made you see that there is a physical kingdom called Persia. Right? Right? It was in a kingdom called Persia. Now, very important. Now, in verse 13, the encounter, the conversation he had with the angel made us see that there is also a supernatural being who is called the prince of Persia. You see that? A supernatural being. You would not say the physical prince of Persia will study with supernatural being. No. But maybe see that there is a supernatural being somewhere. Right? Hallelujah. That goes by the same name. Hallelujah. So that means, I said this to us years back. That was 2008. I'm repeating it again. It shows that there is a supernatural force behind man's action. Hope you are hearing me. Especially the man who is not born again. In fact, for the man who is not born again, we're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Put it this way. There is a supernatural force behind man's actions. It is either, that force is either influenced, or a man is either influenced by God's spirit or the devil. There's no sitting on the fence. Hallelujah. There's no sitting on the fence. It's either I'm being influenced by God's spirit or I'm influenced by the devil. Hallelujah. For a man who is born again, he has the spirit of God in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the man who is not born again is under the influence, control, and supervision of the devil. Glory to God. In fact, I say it this way years back, and I guess I will not be stoned again for saying it. The man who is not born again is an agent of the devil. It sounds so harsh, but that is the truth. Glory to God. Remember the teaching we had concerning how to resist the devil, right? How does Satan get to know information about the believer through a non-believer, majorly? Glory to God, through a non-believer. When an unbeliever, when an unbeliever knows, Satan will definitely get to know of it. Hallelujah. So that means there was a physical kingdom, right, with a prince. And also, there was a spiritual kingdom that influenced the decision of the king of the physical kingdom. So something to look at, and we'll get to look at it some other day. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, if you get to, that word sar in the Hebrew is the same word that is translated in the Greek, akon. Akon. A-R-C-H-O-N. Or Akon. You know what? Akon. It's used for a political rank. A political rank. It's used for the first in the rank. It shows authority. It shows dominion. You find that in Matthew 9:34. Matthew 12:24. Let's see Matthew 9:34. Jesus was accused. Matthew 9:34, quickly. Are you there? Are we? He says, yes, I'm being people. Okay, Matthew. I was going to Mark. Matthew 9. Are you there? Verse 34, and the Pharisees, now Jesus was not casting out the devil, right? Casting out a devil from a blind and a mute guy. And the Pharisees said, he casted out devils by the prince of the devil. Believe that. Can you cast out devil by the prince of the devil? They are not, you know. But he casted out devils by the prince of the devil. Look at chapter 12. They accused him again, verse 24 of chapter 12. Look at it. It says, but when the prince heard it, they said, this fellow does cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Did you see that? Prince of the devil. So it's used. So they accused Jesus of casting out demons with the power of Beelzebub, right? Or by the power of Beelzebub, the authority of Beelzebub. So that word is used for authority, right? And it is used also for spiritual beings. Did you see that? Spiritual beings. Look at chapter 16, verse 11 of John. John 16:11. John 16:11. It says, okay, I'll stop on verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more. Talking about when the Spirit will come and he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and yet see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Did you see that? Right? The prince of this world is judged.
Hallelujah. In Ephesians 2, verses 2, I'll start from verse 1. It says there, Ephesians 2, 1. Are you there? It says, and you have been quickened, who was once dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit, this is not spiritual force, right? Supernatural being, right? That now walk in the children of disobedience. So, did you see that? Hallelujah. So, is this all spiritual being? And it shows you that the man who is not born again is under this kingdom, right? It's under the control, supervision of this force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at how Paul now puts in 2 Corinthians 4. Go back a bit. Hope you're following this. Hope you're following this. 2 Corinthians 4. It says for verse 3. Say, if our gospel be he, is it to them that are lost? Do you see that? Them that are lost will be those who are not saved, right? Them who are lost. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. Of them that believe not, live the light of the glorious gospel of God, which is the image of God, should shine on them. So he calls, using the word, the God of this world, right? He's also referring to a spiritual force. Hallelujah. When the man who is not born again is under. Hallelujah. In Colossians 1:13, let's all see, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. So that means not to be born again is to be in the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. I hope you're following. So a man who is not born again is in the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So being in occultic world is just to further register your presence. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. So further, because you're already in the kingdom of darkness. Hope you're following me. In the kingdom of darkness. Very important. So when I get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, when it says the prince of this world, and you see what prince of this world, right? It refers to both, come on, those who we see crucify him, right? Is the word prince also used for physical people? Yes, those who are in authority. So it used for those who crucify him, right? Right? Can it also be said also for the spiritual force too? Come on, spiritual beings too, right? So we can bring those two in together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Showing you that behind the scene of them crucifying Jesus was a spiritual being or a supernatural being. Hallelujah. And when they killed him, they thought they put an end to Jesus' redemptive work. You know that was all they thought. But Paul now puts it this way, if they had known. Hallelujah. If they had known, they would not have crucified. That means they were not aware. Both those who did it physically and the spiritual being, they were not aware. Hallelujah. So in their mind, they wonder, let's see how you will destroy the temple and rebuild it. You get it? They didn't understand. Glory to God. They didn't understand. You know, when he says he will destroy the temple, not referring to the physical temple, he said, I will destroy Jesus. I hope you're following me. What's talking about? He was talking about the fact that he would die. But they thought he was referring to a physical temple. You get it? So they said, let's kill him and let's see how he's going to destroy the temple. They missed it, right? Both them and who? The spiritual being. The spiritual force. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So they put him to death. So in the death of Jesus, in the death of Jesus, when he said the prince of this world, remember there's a spiritual force, and there's also a physical force. We saw Pilate, we saw Herod, right? We saw Pilate, we saw Herod. We saw the Jews, right? The chief priests. The chief priests don't flow with, permit my word, the chief priests don't flow with Herod, and they don't usually also flow with Pilate, you know? But because of the death of Jesus, darkness united. Okay, believe me. They united. Amen. Amen. One.
Herod was not an Israeli. Jehovah Apollo is not an Israelite.
So number one,
so the two people are Herod. You get it? So number one, there is disagreement. Herod is not even, you get it, not a citizen. Pilate, Rome. Do you get Rome?
Foreigner,
who is the king, and the Jew, they united to kill Jesus. So we can say darkness united, right? I have it in my notes like this: the Pharisees united with Pilate and Herod, just like they did the other prophets. Did you see that? Just like they did the other prophets. Jesus made a commentary to that in Matthew 23. Just like they did the other prophets. Matthew 23, verse 31. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew 23, 21. I hope you follow it. Look at what he says. He says, "Ye and also, I mean 31. Wherefore, ye be witness unto yourself that ye are children of them which killed the prophet." Did you see that? Ye killed the prophet. He said, "Ye serpent, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Do you see that? He says, hallelujah. Stephen will bring that also in Acts of Apostles chapter 7. Acts 7. Rush with me to Acts 7 quickly. Acts 7 verse 51. Look at how Stephen will put it. Acts 7:51. He said, "Yet stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in, yet do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have your fathers, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." Did you see that? He also accused them. So what is Stephen doing? Stephen is uniting them with their fathers. How they killed the prophet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How they killed the prophet. Amen. And the first time we find a prophet of God killed is who? Is Abel. Abel is a prophet of God who was killed. Who killed Abel? Cain did. You hope you're seeing that? Cain did. Glory to God. Something we'll yet see by tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cain did. So when they killed him, they thought they put an end to his redemptive work. You know? And that is, they thought they put an end to his redemptive work. Just like they did the other prophets. And all those while they killed the prophet, it was evil. Let me put it this way. Okay, hallelujah. So, I shake back that. So at the death of Jesus, men and Satan thought they have put his work. They put his work out, right? Right? But little did they know that they were crucifying the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Little did they know. They thought they were putting it to end. They put his work to an end. But little did they know they were crucifying the King of Glory. Hallelujah. But in the resurrection, something they didn't see coming. Hallelujah. God's plan came to pass. They saw it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You remember Jesus, what we read in Matthew 16, saying, "I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail." Right? Hallelujah. And he was speaking about the resurrection. So in that resurrection, his church came. Glory to God. Something Jesus said to Pilate. Similar word. He said it to Pilate. Look at Matthew chapter 26 as we begin to round up. Matthew 26, he said the same word to Pilate. But Pilate didn't see it coming. Hallelujah. Matthew 26, 64. Look at what Jesus said to Pilate. He said, and he said to him, "Thou said, nevertheless, I said to you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the cloud of heaven." Hallelujah. When he says, "See the Son of Man at the right, sitting on the right hand of power," he's referring to the indwelling. He's referring to the resurrection. Hallelujah. That is the resurrection. Hallelujah. And it says you find him in the cloud of heaven. You find him where?
in the cloud of heaven. Now, when you use the word cloud of heaven, the word cloud in scripture is used to signify men. Cloud of witness refers to men. Hallelujah. It implies you will see the Son of Man in men. That's what Jesus is saying to Pilate. He says, year after now. He said, you will see the Son of Man in men. That's what you celebrate. Hallelujah. You will see the Son of Man. Oh, you think you're killing me? Well, you see me in men. Hallelujah. He said, you will see me coming in the cloud of heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in Acts 2:39, it happened. Hallelujah. Jesus resurrected. Remember, they thought they killed him. Hallelujah. But Acts 2:39. Acts 2, they have the Holy Ghost meeting, right? They spoke in tongues. Men gathered. Peter talks in verse 39. What happened? 3,000 men got saved. 39 into 41. 3,000 men got saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That 3,000 men is the cloud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the cloud. Jesus has spoken to Peter concerning this before. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he demonstrated it to them. He demonstrated it to him. He said, cast your nets this way. The Bible says when he cast it, what happened? There was a great catch. There was a great catch. There was a great harvest. In the resurrection, the world saw the great harvest. Hallelujah. Men saw the great harvest. 3,000 men. Hallelujah. He didn't stop there. Glory to God. In Acts 4, they increased. Hallelujah. Acts 5, they increased. Became multitudes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. A whole city, a whole nation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They didn't see this coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, what Satan saw was that cloud. Hallelujah. What the world saw is that cloud. God in man. Hallelujah. God in man. What they saw, hallelujah. They didn't want, they said they are going to kill. Let's see how his son will come to pass. Little did they know. Hallelujah. If they had done, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in the resurrection, they thought they killed him. But in the resurrection, hallelujah, he's not in us. Glory to God. He's not living in us. Glory to God. The indwelling, hallelujah. I will build my church. Glory to God. What will you find in his church? He will be in them. Hallelujah. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They didn't see it coming. They didn't see it coming. That was what God did within the 3 days. Within the 3 days, the church was founded. Within the 3 days, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Within the 3 days, they indwelled. Hallelujah. All the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They thought they wanted to stop Jesus. No. They thought they went, let's kill him, let's see how his plan will come to pass. But little did they know, he's the Lord of glory. He's the King of glory. Hallelujah. They didn't see the indwelling coming. No, they didn't see it coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in that resurrection, before time, they killed the prophet. That is evil over good, right? But in the resurrection, is good over evil. Hallelujah. Light in darkness. Hallelujah. Light in darkness. Remember, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and Jacob was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. Hallelujah. Let there be light. How would that happen? The sea. Hallelujah. Jesus said, except the grain of sea falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, when Jesus resurrected, he gave the task to them. What did those men do? What did they do? With giving in Acts 2, 3,000 God saved. That means there's a responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is counting on us in our day to continue. Hallelujah. Till the whole earth be free with his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we've been given the word. We've been given that mandate. Go therefore and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Let men see your witnesses of this thing. Let men see God in man. Hallelujah. God lives in us. He lives in you. He lives in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's go our feet. Glory to God. What God did within the 3 days is the church. What God did within the 3 days is you and I. Hallelujah. What God did in the 3 days.